Man, the title of my sermon this morning is Accept the Father, Draw Him. Accept the Father, Draw Him. Look down at John chapter 6, verse 43 there. The Bible reads, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Notice that phrase there. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And this is what I want to preach about this morning, the subject that in order for a person to be saved, the Father has to draw them. That's the only way anyone can come to Christ. They have to be taught of God. Now, why is that? Because of the fact that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So a man who's just a natural man, he's not saved, he's just in the flesh, he's not going to be able to comprehend the gospel or put his faith in Jesus Christ without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, drawing him to Christ. Now look at chapter 6, verse 60, same chapter down to verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? Now what is it that they heard that was a hard saying? The hard saying was about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Now they didn't understand this because they were taking it overly literally, sort of like when Nicodemus said, well, you know, born again, should I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? I mean, obviously, he didn't get it, did he? And he's looking at it overly literal if he thinks he has to be physically, literally born again, enter into his mother's womb the second time to be born. Or the woman at the well, when Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. And then she said, oh, well, great, give me that living water so I don't have to come here and draw water anymore. She's looking at it as a physical water, when in reality, these are spiritual things. Born again is a spiritual thing. The living water is a spiritual thing. Eating the flesh of the Son of Man, they're not literally going to eat his flesh. And by the way, the Roman Catholics, they take this Nicodemus style, woman at the well style interpretation. Why? Because they're not saved. You know, so they basically, they can't comprehend this. So they think like, yeah, we got to literally eat the body. And they do this hocus pocus where they supposedly turn that bread into the literal body of Christ. They call it transubstantiation. So the hard saying was about Jesus saying, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. He that eateth me shall live by me. Obviously not literal. He's speaking spiritual truths that are going over their head. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Look at verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? You know what? Well, you don't believe that I came down from heaven? Well, guess what? Eventually, you're going to see me ascend up back where I was before. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, verse 63. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So he's explaining to them, look, it's not about literally eating bread or eating literal flesh. It's about the Spirit quickening. And he said, the Spirit's what gives you life. The Spirit is what's going to regenerate you or bring you to life spiritually. And he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Then look at verse 65. This reiterates what we saw earlier. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now go to John chapter 12, John chapter number 12, and we'll find the same concept once again. So in John chapter 6, we see this concept that says, look, in order to be saved, in order to come to Christ, in order to believe on Christ, the Father has to draw you. You have to be taught of God. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself like these people where everything Jesus is preaching is going over their head. They're taking it too literally. They don't know what he means. They don't get it. The Spirit has to quicken, okay, is what the Bible's saying. It has to be given you of the Father. Look at John chapter 12, verse 32. It says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The fact that he's going to be lifted up from the earth on a cross. The people answered him, we've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now, obviously, when it says he hid himself from them, it's talking about literally. He actually left and hid, and they couldn't find him. But what's the spiritual meaning here? He hid himself from them. Let's come back to that, okay? But let me back up here. Now, a lot of times, people will take the teaching in John chapter 6, and they'll try to teach a doctrine called Calvinism, which basically says, well, only certain people have the opportunity to get saved. You know, only the ones who God draws, only the ones who it is given them of the Father, they're the only ones who can get saved. Here's the problem with that. Look at John chapter 12, verse 32. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So John chapter 6 is not teaching a Calvinist doctrine that says that God doesn't care about certain people. Other people, he loves them and draws them and bestows grace upon them. In reality, every single person has the opportunity to get saved. And this is clearly explained here in John chapter 12 when he says, while you have the light with you, look at verse 35, yet a little while is the light with you, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Look at verse 36. While you have light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. He's saying, look, there's a time when you've got the light. And look, he's not talking to people that are already saved because he's warning them that if they don't believe on the light while they have it, you know what's going to happen? They're going to end up in darkness and Jesus will hide himself from them. Does everybody see this? So this is not a teaching as the Calvinists would twist this of, oh, well, God is only revealing himself to certain people that he chose based on some unknown criteria and he's not giving everybody a chance. No, because if we were actually reading the book of John in context, right at the beginning of John, chapter 1, we would see where the Bible says, this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, a lot of times Calvinists will look at verses that say all men or well, it's not really all men. All doesn't really mean all here. It's just all the elect or whatever. But how do you get around it lighteth every man, and then he even qualifies what he means by every man. Every man that cometh into the world. Now, what, you know, that's everybody. So you can't sit there and say, well, every man, there isn't really every man, because he breaks it down and says every man that cometh into the world. So in John chapter 1, the true light lights every man that cometh into the world. And Jesus says, look, you have the light with you. While you have the light, you better walk in the light. And he said, believe in the light. Look at verse 36. While you have light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. Because guess what? If they don't believe in the light while they have it with them, eventually the night's going to come. Darkness will come upon you. Look at verse 35. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. So here's what's going on. You got an unsaved person. God reveals himself to them. The light of the gospel shines in their heart. Maybe they hear a Bible verse, or they hear the preaching of the gospel, or some soul winner knocks on their door. Some kind of light. Maybe they even just look at the natural world and they see the creation of God and there's like a little light there from God. You know what they need to do? They need to respond to that light so that God can give them more light. Because if they don't walk in the light, if they don't believe in the light, darkness will come upon them. And when darkness comes upon them, Jesus hides himself from them. Only can salvation occur if God is drawing them. Here's what happens. If a person does not respond to the light that God gives them, and if a person keeps rejecting Christ, and God often gives many chances. He can give people many chances. But if a person just again and again and again just rejects the light that God gives them, rejects the word of God, rejects the preaching of God's word, eventually God turns off the light. And at that point, the Father is not drawing them anymore. The Father is not teaching them. They can't be saved. Because no one can come to Christ unless the Father is drawing them, right? No one can come to Christ unless it's given them of the Father. So it says in verse number 36, he did hide himself before them. Then we get into a little commentary on this from John. It says in verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he, God, has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. See, the arm of the Lord must be revealed unto you in order for you to believe the report. Who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord represents salvation. Salvation is revealed through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not understood by the carnal mind. It must be spiritually discerned. And so that's why it means what it says. It has to be given you of the Father. You have to be taught of God. The Father has to draw you. It's not that this is only for a select few. It's that people are not in this category of being drawn by God because they have already rejected it. Okay. Everybody gets a chance. The light lights every man that comes into the world. But if we reject the light that we're given, eventually we could get to a place, and I'm talking about the unsaved, of course, where you don't get the light anymore. Now, once we're saved, we're always saved. I'm going to get to how this affects us as believers a little bit later in the sermon. But this is the foundation here to understand. Now, a lot of people just completely ignore this doctrine. It's a very clear doctrine in the Bible. You know, we typically refer to it as the reprobate doctrine, is what we call it colloquially around here. But a lot of people just reject this doctrine, and they say, you know, anyone can be saved until the last breath. Until someone breathes their last breath, there's hope. Is that what the Bible says?
No.
Does the Bible just say, hey, you can just choose to get saved whenever you want? Just whenever you want, you can just be like, you know what? I think I'm going to get saved. It's like a few weeks ago, I knocked on the guy's door out soul winning, and he said, you know what? I'm thinking about becoming a Christian later this year, he said. Can I show you right now how to be saved? You know, if you got 10 minutes, I can show you right now. No, not now. But later this year, I'm actually planning on converting to Christianity. I'm planning on becoming a Christian. But I have no time right now. So I basically told him, I said, well, you know, just stick this in a drawer or something. And when you decide to convert to Christianity, come see me and I'll tell you how to be saved. But you know, the sad thing is, that day will probably never come.
Yeah.
You can't just sit there and say, well, you know what? I think I'm going to get saved later. Or, well, you know, I'll get saved now. No, God has to draw you. God has to speak to you. The Holy Ghost has to move upon you and quicken you. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And you don't know when God is going to get tired of you rejecting the light, where he'll just turn the lights out. And then he'll hide himself from you. This is very clear. What is the? How else can you interpret this when you look at verse 39 of John chapter 12? Therefore, they could not believe. Now look, will Jesus save anyone who believes on him? Of course. So it's not like, oh, you believed in Christ? Oh, but you didn't get drawn. Sorry. No. You can't believe in Christ without the Holy Spirit's working. So it's not that if you believed, you wouldn't be saved. Folks, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Anyone who believes in Christ is saved, period. Okay. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in me hath everlasting life. I mean, it can't be any simpler than verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Lots of verses like that. But here's the point, though. Here's the key. They could not believe. People ask these silly questions. Well, what if a reprobate believes on Jesus? They can't believe. They're in darkness. The light isn't there. They're not able to believe. So this is clear. Now, there's really only two ways to interpret this. You could take the wrong interpretation that the Calvinists would take and say, well, they couldn't believe because, you know, God just didn't pick them. They just weren't the elect. Or you can take the correct interpretation that because he had done so many miracles before them and they didn't believe on him, they got to a place where they couldn't believe anymore because they didn't walk in the light while the light was with them. They didn't believe in the light while the light was with them, and darkness came upon them. That's what the Bible clearly teaches in John 6 and John 12. And this is reiterated in many other places. Go to Matthew 13. We can see this all over Scripture. Matthew 13. And one thing that you'll notice as we look up these scriptures in the New Testament about this doctrine are the constant references to Isaiah, because this is a major theme in the book of Isaiah as well. But look at Matthew 13 and verse number 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, or Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Go to Acts chapter 28. Acts 28, while you're turning there, let me give you some quotes from Isaiah. Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Do you see that criteria? You better believe on him. You better believe on the light while the light's there. You'd better seek the Lord while he may be found. You'd better call upon him while he's near. Obviously, there's a time when he's not here. Obviously, there's a time when he may not be found. There's a time when darkness comes upon you and Jesus hides himself. That's a scary thought for the unsaved. Another script, you're in Isaiah, or you're in Acts 28. It says in verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, verse 25, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Let me stop and ask you something. When we go out door to door and preach the gospel, does it ever happen that we preach to someone and hearing they hear, but they don't understand? We pull out the Bible and show them and they see it, but they don't perceive. And have you ever just wondered, like, is this person handicapped? And you'll be talking to people that seem like intelligent people, and it's just, everything's just whoop, right over their head. And you're wondering, like, is that, and I mean, you're like, you know, is there something, are you okay? You know, like, do you know what I'm saying? You're wondering, like, what's wrong with this person? I don't get it. But here's what it is. It's that they're blinded. Darkness. You're showing them all these really clear scriptures. It's just they just don't get it. And you're wondering, like, why is it that they don't get it? It's because of the fact that the Father's not drawing them. It's because of the fact that they're not being taught of God. It's because now look, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a reprobate. So I don't want you to get that wrong. Because it could be that basically today's just not their day. You know, that God's going to have to do more work in their heart. The Holy Spirit's going to have to work in their heart. It could be that they're going to get saved in the future. Or it could be that in the past they had lots of chances and they kept rejecting it. And now they are reprobate. Now they are walking in darkness. So I don't want you to misunderstand the sermon and think, hey, if I explain the gospel to somebody and they don't get it, because they're a reprobate. Okay, you don't want to just, you know, just be on a hair trigger to start labeling everyone a reprobate. Because a lot of the people who don't understand it today will understand it later. So this is a key point to understand. You know, a lot of people have to hear the gospel many times. And sometimes if somebody's hearing the gospel for the first time, they're not going to get saved because they're just getting a little bit of light and the Holy Spirit's just kind of starting to work in their heart. The Bible says somebody has to plant the seed and then somebody has to water it. So you might just be planting a seed, so a lot of it's going over their head because they're just getting a little sliver of light right now. So maybe you knock on that door out soul winning, somebody's getting a little sliver of light, God's going to see how they respond to that little sliver of light. And then he's going to open the door a little wider, give them more light, more light, more light. So don't mistake this. It could be that their day of salvation is in the future, not necessarily that they missed it in the past. So don't just label everyone a reprobate. But we all know that we've had many experiences, if we ever witness to people, where they hear, but they understand not. They see it, but they don't perceive it. It's like they're blind. It's like they're deaf to what is being said. It says in verse 27, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." Go, if you would, to, let's see, I'm just going to read you some of these. Jump, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. While you're turning there, Isaiah 6, 9 says this. "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." That's kind of interesting, that wording, when it says, make the heart of this people fat. What does that mean? You know, make their heart fat. And then I found another verse that tied in with this. Psalm 119:70 said, "Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law." Now, some of that's just your diet that's doing that to your heart, all right? If your heart's as fat as grease, you know, fat, your organs are getting fatty. But anyway, I'm joking. But the thing is, he said, you know, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. So what's the contrast? What's the opposite of the guy whose heart is as fat as grease is the one who delights in their law. Now, have you ever heard of someone who doesn't understand things very well being called thick?
Yeah.
Like, well, he's a little thick. Okay, so that I think that's what he's getting at here when he says this people's heart is fat. All right, and then David says it's as fat as grease. All right, but I delight in the law. See, people who don't love the Word of God, people who don't delight in the truth, people who don't respond to the Word of God, their heart becomes fat as grease. And then the one who loves God's Word is the opposite of that. You know, they're open to hear and they can learn and understand and God can speak to them. Luke 10:21 says this. You don't have to turn there, but Luke 10:21 says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." So we see God hiding it from one person and revealing it to someone else. You see that? "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." So can you know the Father without the Son revealing the Father to you? No. Can you know the Father without the Son or the Son without the Father? God has to reveal himself to you, okay, because it's a spiritual thing. "And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things." And we already saw that in the other passage. And then also in Mark 4:23, how about this famous phrase that you've heard so many times in the Bible? "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." You know what that means? Some people don't have ears to hear, do they?
Yeah.
"And he said to them, Take heed what you hear, for with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again, and unto you that hear shall more be given." Unto you that hear shall more be given. "For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." Luke 8:18. "Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." So over and over again, we see this concept in the Bible. Look, you cannot be saved unless God reveals to you the gospel, reveals to you, and he does that through his word, of course. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The entrance of thy word giveth light, the Bible says, right? So when somebody hears the word of God, they're getting the light there. Okay? When somebody hears the preaching of the gospel, that's light coming in. They better walk in that light. They'd better believe in that light. They'd better respond to that light, because what will happen is eventually God will turn the lights out. Now you say, are you saying that they're never going to hear a Bible verse again? Oh, they might hear a Bible verse. But you know what? That light's not going to get through. Because he'll make their heart gross. He'll make their heart fat. He'll make their eyes darkness. He'll make their ears dull of hearing. He will harden their heart and blind their eyes to the point where they can no longer see the truth anymore. They cannot be saved. So this is a chilling thought for the unsaved. Man, if you're unsaved today and you're thinking to yourself, well, you know what? I'm going to think about this when I get older, or I'm not really interested in this right now. You know, I maybe some other time. I'll think about it later. I want to go to college and kind of figure out what I believe and make my, you know. Let me explain something to you. When you're hearing God's word, you better jump on that. Yeah. Especially if you feel something. You know, when you, look, I don't know about you, but I feel something all the time. When I'm listening to preaching, my heart burns within me. When I'm reading the Bible, my heart burns within me, right? I mean, I feel a lot. But let me tell you something. There are some people, they could hear the most powerful passage from God's word. They could hear Psalm 23 and 1 Corinthians 13 and John 14 and feel nothing. It's true. I've given the word of God to a friend who was unsaved, and he read it and he said, oh, it's just stupid. It's a bunch of junk. It's like, are we reading the same book here? But let me tell you something, man, when God puts those blinders on, you're done. You're toast. I mean, that's dangerous. Now, again, there are some people who can't understand the gospel, not because they're to that point, but because maybe they're early on the path. Maybe they're just starting to be illuminated, you know. And they are still yet to determine what they're going to do with the light that God has given them. But the bottom line is, without the Holy Spirit, without being taught of God, without the Father drawing you, without God revealing himself and opening your eyes, you cannot be saved. That's essential to salvation. When we go soul winning, that is a spiritual activity. This is not like a sales call or something where you're just, you know, explaining to them the benefits and the perks of being saved and, you know, you just got to sign right here. You know, it's a spiritual activity that you're doing there. And that's why I also don't believe that unsaved people can get people saved. Because this is all a spiritual process. Now, I do believe unsaved people can plant a seed. Because, you know, the Word of God can plant a seed no matter who it's coming from. You know, the Bible, somebody could read a Bible verse. Somebody could pick up a Bible and read it and a seed's planted, you know, and a little bit of light's coming in. But as far as actually discerning and understanding the Word of God, it comes through the preaching of God's Word from one saved person to another, expounding God's Word to them. Now, let's get to the application to those of us who are saved. Now, of course, the vast majority of us here are already saved, okay? So we're out of the woods on this, you know, because we are not in danger of becoming a reprobate because we're saved. And nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to hide himself and be gone and just ditch us. No, we're sealed by the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. We cannot lose our salvation. We have eternal life, and there's nothing that can change that. But those of us who are already saved want to make sure that we don't quench the Spirit either, because God tells saved people, quench not the Spirit. That's instruction to the saved. Quench not the Spirit. Now, if the unsaved quench the Spirit, well, they're really in trouble. If the unsaved quench the Spirit, they could get to a point where they can't even be saved anymore. Because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will reprove the world of sin. Of sin because they believe not on me. And so the Holy Spirit lights every man that comes into the world. The Holy Spirit reproves the entire world of sin, even unbelievers, especially unbelievers. And if the unsaved quench the Spirit, if they get dull of hearing, if they don't respond to light, boy, they're in big trouble because they could be eternally damned. They could get, and they could get to a point where it's too late for them to even be saved. That's a really scary thought. But what about us that are saved? You know, us that are saved, we're constantly being given light by God too. We're constantly being given illumination as well. We're constantly hearing the Holy Spirit of God speak to us through our Bible reading, through preaching, and even through the natural world around us. And the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. That means it's possible to quench the Spirit. That means even we as Christians could get dull of hearing. We could start to not listen to what God is saying to us. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Notice how dull of hearing, we recognize that phrase also from the discussion about the people in Isaiah and in the Gospels as well. Use that term, dull of hearing. He's talking to people that are saved and saying, you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Let me ask you this. Are these people saved or unsaved? Saved. They're clearly saved because he's saying, you're unskilled, you're a babe, but he's not saying you're not in the family. What's a babe? Is a babe saved or unsaved? No, a babe in Christ is a babe in Christ. If you're a babe, you're still in Christ. Okay. You should be teachers. Why? Because you're saved. You are saved. That's why you should be teachers. But because you're unskilled, because you're dull of hearing, you are like a babe that needs milk instead of strong meat. For strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Verse 1 of the next chapter. Therefore, because of that, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. Let's not just stay babes. Let's go forward into completion. Perfection means completion, right? Let's get mature. Let's grow up. Let's get fully developed in our Christian walk. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. That's baby stuff. That's child's play. Those doctrines that he just listed there, those are just the basics. That's just the beginning. And you know what? Some churches, you could literally go there for 100 years, and that's all you're going to hear on Sunday morning. The plan of salvation. Who's ever gone to a church where the plan of salvation was the sermon topic every Sunday morning? Every single Sunday morning, we hear the gospel again. And it's like, excuse me, we're all saved. You know, can we learn something else? Why? What are they doing? They're basically just giving you milk for breakfast, milk for lunch, and milk for dinner. And that's not going to make you a fully developed, mature Christian, right? You've got to get into the strong meat as well. This sermon is strong meat. This is not a super basic concept that I'm preaching. It's a little bit more of a higher end concept. But you know what? Even the person who just got saved recently is going to be able to take something away from this sermon. There's a little milk mix in. We're not seething a kid in his mother's milk, but we are giving you a cheeseburger with a glass of milk on the side. All right. And if you come on Wednesday nights, you know what that means. And if you don't, well, you're going to have to tune into YouTube to the Exodus series. So, he says here, let's move on. Let's leave the principles of, you know, and he gives these basics. Why? Because let's get into the strong. And he says, this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, verse 4, and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. And here's the key verse, verse 9. But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. So we need to So we need to understand something. There are two groups of people in this passage here. Okay? Let me just grab two guys up here. Can a couple guys jump up and be the examples here of who we're talking to, just to help visualize this. So, you know, it's like over here, we got this guy right here. Okay, he's a babe in Christ. You know, it's like he's saved. He should be a teacher, but he has need that one teach him again, you know. So this guy's dull of hearing. He's basically just kind of caught up in worldliness. I'm not talking about him, actually. Okay, you know. Come on, what's your problem? But anyway, so what I'm saying is, you know, maybe he's caught up in just the things of this world. He's dull of hearing. So he comes to church and he's just like, nah. He's looking at his watch. He's thinking about the big game or the big movie or the big season premiere or his next strategy in his video game. You know, he just gets home. So basically, like, he's dull of hearing. He's quenching the spirit. He's choked by the cares of this world. That's who he's talking to in chapter 5, right? Does everybody get that? He's talking to this guy. Okay, then he starts talking to this guy, or about this guy, not to this guy, because he's talking to this guy, about this guy, a different group. This is the guy who was once enlightened. Does everybody understand? Nobody's the good guy in this illustration, by the way. So this is the guy who was once enlightened. He tasted the gift. He was made partaker of the Holy Ghost and of the Word of God and everything. He's not saved. The Holy Ghost lights every man that comes into the world. Okay? The Holy Ghost reproves the world of sin. Of sin because they believe not on me. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Ghost has a ministry to the saved and to the unsaved. Very clear in John 16. This guy has been once enlightened. He had the light, but he didn't believe in the light. He turned away from the light. He rejected the light that was given unto him, and he was given over to a reprobate mind. Okay? So now, stay here, guys. Think about what he's saying here. He tells you, you know, man, you know, you need to get off of the milk, leave just the foundational, you know, doctrines of Christ, baptism, eternal judgment, resurrection. Hey, we need to go move on into perfection. Then he says, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened. Okay, and he starts talking about this guy. Look down at your Bible. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Notice, none of this is saying that they got saved. Enlightened means it clicked with them. They understood it. They comprehended. The light shined on them. They tasted. Did they receive the heavenly gift? No, they didn't receive the heavenly gift of eternal life. They tasted it. They tasted it. They did not ingest it. Okay? They just tasted it. They were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, meaning that the Holy Ghost worked in their heart. They had the Holy Ghost move upon them, as he said he would do on the unsaved in John 16 to reprove them of sin. They tasted the good word of God. They tasted the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Meaning they're rejecting Christ. They're seeing Christ and rejecting him, just like the people who crucified him, who said, crucify him! His blood be on us and on our children. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, verse 7, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars, because remember, I'm talking to this guy about this guy, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing. But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. He's saying, look, you're saved, so don't be like this guy. It's impossible to fix this guy. Does everybody get that? He's been once enlightened, and he can't be restored to repentance, but you can. Does everybody see what I'm saying? Because look, what was it that made this guy a reprobate in the first place is that he was dull of hearing. It's that he closed his eyes. Am I right? So now he's saying to a Christian, you're saved. You're a baby Christian, but you're saved. Don't get dull of hearing. This guy's dull of hearing. Hey, I expect more from you, right? I'm persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation. You're not, I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm just saying you're dull of hearing, and you're starting to remind me of this guy. Does everybody see what I'm saying? And so he's saying you need to start responding when God speaks to you. Stop quenching the Spirit. Go ahead and sit down, guys. Listen. Be tender to God's word being preached to you and spoken to you. Don't just be this babe in Christ who's saved and on his way to heaven, but he's dull of hearing, bored of preaching, bored. And look, some people are probably literally in this room bored right now. Seriously. Now, I'm sure the majority of people right now are tuned in and listening and learning, but I guarantee you that there's that punk teenager in here or that child or that adult or whatever who's just like, nah, and they just can't wait. They just can't wait to get on the video game and get on their movies and get on their TV shows and get on their music and get on another roller coaster and lick another ice cream cone. Let me tell you something. There's more to life than the pleasures of this world. And let me tell you something. If you're dull of hearing, you better slap yourself and you better perk up and you better listen to what God's saying. Because you don't want, look, thank God if you're saved, nothing can change that, but you don't want to mess up your life. And you don't want to get to a point, like Paul said, I don't want to be a castaway. You know, you don't want to get to a point where basically, yeah, you're saved, but God's just like, well, you know what? Whatever, I'll use somebody else. And you know what? It's possible, even as a saved person, to miss out on a lot of rewards, mess up your life, and not walk with God as you should. So there's a warning to the saved also. Now, if you're not saved, and you are hearing God's word, and it has power when you hear it, man, you better respond to that because you better get saved while you can. If you're already saved, then you want to remain tender to God's word. And how do you do that? First of all, pray to the Lord. See, here's the good news. When you're saved, it's never too late to come back. Now, for the unsaved, it can get too late, right? Like, he's done, it's too late. But for the saved, it's never too late to get right with God. There really is hope as long as you're breathing air if you're saved.
Amen.
You say, oh, you don't understand the sins I committed, Pastor. I was drunk, I fornicated, I committed adultery. Folks, if you're saved, there's always hope. You can always come back.
Amen.
You can always come back. You can always get right with God. You can always return unto the Lord. And you know what? If you get on your knees and say, God, I went to church today and I felt nothing, I was dull of hearing, Lord. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He'll do it.
Amen.
If you seek him, you will find him. Because you're his son.
Amen.
You're his daughter. Look, there are some people in life that I'm just done with. I'll bet you could name some people in your life that you're just done with, that person. If that person came to you and wanted to be your friend, you're just like, no, I'm done with you. But if your son or daughter ever came to you and said, you know what, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. You know, let's say you got estranged from your family. If your son or daughter came to you and said, I'm sorry, I'm going to do it right now, you wouldn't turn them away.
Right.
They're your son, they're your daughter, right? God's never going to turn you away when you come to him and say, God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, help me to enjoy your word. Help me to enjoy reading my Bible. Help me to enjoy church. Help me to enjoy singing the hymns. Help me to enjoy the preaching. He'll respond to that because you're his child. So there's a message this morning for the saved and the unsaved, isn't there? The message for the unsaved, you better respond to the light while you have it. It's what Jesus said. He was talking to unsaved people and he said, hey, yet a little while you've got the light with you. Believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Otherwise, what? Darkness come upon you? I'll hide myself from you. But to the saved, it's, hey, don't get dull of hearing. Just because you're saved doesn't make you immune from quenching the Spirit or getting dull of hearing or getting backslidden or getting cold to the things of God. And I think that all of us in our life have gone through phases where we were tender to the things of God, excited about things of God, our heart burned within us as we read our Bible. I bet that every single person, if they'd be honest, would raise their hand and say that there was a time in their Christian life, if they've been saved for any length of time, where they got cold toward the things of God. And where reading the Bible was just, meh. Going to church was, meh. Why? Because they got dull of hearing. And that's what God's warning us, not to let the cares of this world choke the word. And not to quench the spirit and get to that point. Here are a couple of verses I'll give you in closing, back to the unsaved. Acts 7:51, here's what Stephen said. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. So you see how unsaved people can be spoken to by the Holy Ghost and resist. So much for irresistible grace, you know. And look, I've been accused of being a Calvinist lately. I've never preached anything Calvinist. Right. I don't have a Calvinist bone in my body, okay? I don't believe in unconditional election. There's this great big fat condition on being elected. It's believing on Christ. Okay. And here's the thing. One of the reasons why I'm preaching the sermon this morning is because some of the verses that I'm showing you are verses that Calvinists would use to teach their wrong doctrine.
Right.
I'm showing you actually the right interpretation of these verses. So that if a Calvinist hits you with these verses out of context, you're not going to be like, oh man, what is that? What's going on with that? Folks, you're going to get it. And see, once you understand the reprobate doctrine, all the air just comes out of the Calvinist balloon. It's like... Because here's the thing, if you don't understand the reprobate doctrine and you get hit with all these Calvinist verses, a lot of them you're kind of like, oh, they can't believe, why can't they believe? Why? You don't get it, right? But once you understand the reprobate doctrine, it all clicks. Also, when you're wrong on Israel, a lot of the Calvinists have verses that they can use against you. Once you understand Israel and you have a proper understanding of Romans 9 through 11, all of a sudden... Those Calvinist verses, you totally see how they're twisting it and taking it out of context. Okay. Here's another good example. Acts 16:14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, and listen to this, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. This woman, Lydia, the Lord opened her heart. But here's what you have to understand. That's the only way that anybody can get saved. Is for the Lord to open their heart. They have to be taught of God. They have to be drawn of the Father. They have to be walking in the light that He shows them. And here's the thing. He will offer that to everyone. The true light lights every man that comes into the world. He even said to unsaved people, walk in the light. Well, you have it. There's going to come a time when it's taken away. And then you're doomed. It's not that God is only choosing to reveal Himself to certain people, and He doesn't care about the other people. He cares about everyone. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Two groups of people in that verse. Who are the two groups? Number one, the world. Number two, whosoever believeth. These are not the same group, are they? He loved the world so much that He gave the only begotten Son, that this group over here, whosoever believeth in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So did God love the people even that didn't believe in Him? Yeah. Did He still die for them? Yeah. He died for them, He loved them, but only the whosoever believeth gets eternal life. So, all that to say this. Number one, if you're not saved, now's the day of salvation. If God's speaking to your heart today, get saved today. Now, if you're ice cold today and you're not saved and everything I'm saying to you isn't clicking with you, then you know what? You better get on your knees and beg God to show you some more light. And you know where I got the idea from this sermon? Well, I had like two or three things happen the same week. I felt like God was pointing me to this sermon because of just multiple experiences I had this week. But one of them was we knocked on this guy's door, gave him the entire gospel, gave him all the scripture. He hears all the plan of salvation, and he's just like, And he said, yeah, that the message just doesn't click with me. That just doesn't click with me. But he said his dad was an evangelical Christian, even though he is a non-believer. And you know what I was thinking to myself? You know what? I'll bet you this guy's dad has given him the gospel. He's probably heard the gospel a bunch of times, and he didn't respond, and that's why he can just be ice cold as he's presented the gospel. Folks, if you're not saved and God is speaking to you right now, you need to get saved today. Grab me, grab one of us, grab Brother Segor, grab any of us. We'll show you how to be saved today. But number two, if you are saved, and this is the majority, of course, the vast majority, remain tender to the Holy Spirit. Don't get dull of hearing. But number three, the third thing I want you to get out of the sermon this morning is to realize that when you're soul winning, some people aren't going to get saved today. Some people aren't going to get saved today because God isn't working in their heart. Okay, God has not revealed himself to them. Now, let me give a disclaimer at this point. We're not looking for emotion. When we're out soul winning and preaching the gospel, we're not looking for emotion. Oh, they're not emotional. Today's not their day. That's a wrong doctrine. Right. Try that on the Native Americans. Try that on the Indian reservation. Because you know what? Some of them are really stoic. Yeah. And they don't show any emotion at all. Doesn't mean they're not getting it. We're not looking for emotion. We are looking for comprehension and faith. Yes. That's what we're looking for. What does the Bible say? Understanding the gospel and believing the gospel. That's what we're looking for. So, and this is where the old IFB has kind of abused this doctrine of like, well, they got to be under conviction. If there's no conviction, there's no salvation. Now, every lie is based on a little bit of truth. The truth is, yeah, if God's not drawing them, they can't be saved. That's what I've just been preaching. But notice I didn't say no conviction, no salvation. Conviction's a guilty feeling. Look up the word conviction in the dictionary. It's a guilty feeling. That's why the only time the Bible ever uses the word convicted in the King James Bible is when it talks about how when Jesus said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone." And then it says they were all convicted by their own consciences and dropped the stone and walked away. They were convicted by God? No, they're convicted by their own consciences. They had a guilty feeling because they realized the bad things that they had done. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah. He that's without sin among you, let him cast a stone. Guilty feeling, drop the stone, walk away. That's conviction. The old IFB will say, there's got to be conviction, brother. There doesn't have to be conviction. There has to be God's Spirit drawing them.
Amen.
There has to be God revealing himself to them. The light of God shining in. The Holy Ghost moving upon them. Yes, but the reason I don't like to call that conviction is because that's not always going to be a guilty feeling. First of all, there could be other emotions associated with salvation. You know, some people that I gave the gospel to, they had a guilty feeling and they're crying and they're saying that they're not worthy and they get saved. And that's great. But is everybody like that? No, some people just get happy when they hear the gospel. I mean, last time I checked, the gospel is called the good news. So does it only just make people feel bad and guilty and sad? No, because a lot of that, you tell people that they're a sinner, 99% of the time, they're basically like, tell me something I don't know. Everybody knows they're a sinner pretty much. It's rare to run into somebody who doesn't get that. A lot of people, they already have felt unworthy for a long time. And when they get the gospel, joy floods their soul of, wow, I can be saved. Jesus loves me. Salvation is accessible to me. Oh, happy day. Or there could be some people that are just not an emotional person. Some people, especially sometimes on certain Native American reservations and stuff, you'll run into these people that are just, they're just not emotional people. They're just not bouncing off the walls when you talk to them. Some of them are just very stoic, all right? But if they believe them in Jesus, you know, they're saved. So what we're looking for when we're out soul winning is comprehension of the gospel and faith. This is what the Holy Spirit's going to do for you. He's going to help you understand. You can't understand the gospel without the Holy Spirit revealing these things. And the faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? Because the people who don't have the light from the Father, the Bible said they could not believe, right? So here's the thing. Let's say I'm out soul winning, and I'm giving somebody the gospel, and I go through the whole plan of salvation with them, and then it comes down to the end, and I'm asking them the questions to see if they understood it. So, you know, what do we have to do to be saved? And then they're just like, live a good life, be a good person, go to church. It's like, excuse me, were you just not here for the last 10 minutes?
Right.
Who's had that happen before? Yeah, it's like you just spent 10 minutes, 15 minutes explaining, and then you get to the end, they're just like, live a good life, be a good person. It's like, hello, is anybody home? Look, it's not that the person you're talking to is necessarily an idiot, although they might be an idiot, but they're not necessarily an idiot, and they're not necessarily mentally handicapped or mentally disabled. Okay? A lot of times, it's just that, you know, they're blinded. They're just not seeing, or God's Spirit has not opened their eyes yet. Today is not their day. Today's not the day. Now, I've been so many with people where people will just keep, they won't let it go. It's like, they'll go for 10 minutes, the person gets the wrong answer, and then they explain it to them again, they still don't get it. Explain it to them again, still don't get it. Explain it to them again, still don't get it. Folks, you need to understand, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And here's the danger with that kind of soul winning where you just keep going and keep going and keep going is that eventually they're just going to tell you the answer that you want to hear.
Yeah. Right.
But it's not going to be from the heart.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, eventually if you just keep badgering with it, pretty soon they're just going to figure out what the answer is on a cerebral basis, on a mental basis of just, okay, this guy keeps getting mad and telling me I'm wrong when I give him this answer, so I'm going to give him the answer he wants. That's why this is, look, when I go soul winning, if I can explain the whole gospel to somebody and they're just like, live a good life, you know, at that point, I might give them one more chance, but then usually I just try to leave on a positive note, consider it a seed planted, and I, you know, just am friendly to them, and I try to direct them to listen to more preaching or watch this documentary, listen to this sermon. You know, I give them some homework of what to do, give them something, and then I'm just, hey, God bless you, have a great day. Because it, and again, I'm not saying the person's a reprobate, because it might just be that I'm the seed sower today, and someone else has to water, or it could be that, yeah, this person is doomed, it's too late for them. We don't know, so we'd never want to assume people are reprobate. We should only call someone a reprobate when it's confirmed, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother sermon about confirming that. So we want to always give people the benefit of the doubt. If we're 99% sure someone's a reprobate, let's consider them a non-reprobate for the 1% chance that they're not. Am I right?
Yeah.
So basically, we want it to be confirmed. But the point is, you know, you don't want to get frustrated with people out soul winning. You know, Brother Kevin, come up. You know, it's like I'm out soul winning, I'm giving him the gospel, and he doesn't get it. And it's just like, what's wrong with you? Why you no get it? You know, why you know I believe the gospel? Folks, getting frustrated, getting animated, just badgering, explaining it to them a bunch of times, have a seat, is not, you can't force someone to get saved.
Right.
And you know what? If God hasn't opened his eyes to these things, it's not going to happen. It's a spiritual process getting people saved. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And sometimes it takes time, and the people need to hear it a few times. Now, a lot of the people that we walk up to, man, they're ready to get saved, right?
Yeah.
We give them the gospel. You can see that it's clicking with them. They get it. They understand it. They believe it. Saved. So, yeah, we go out and get a lot of people saved on the spot. But you know what? I guarantee you that person's probably already had some seeds planted in their past. And they've had some seeds watered in the past. We're entering into other men's labors. And we're just finishing. So sometimes we sow, sometimes we water, sometimes we reap, and sometimes we run into the guy where he's already been sown, he's already been watered, and he's a Hebrews 6 guy, and he's a Romans 1 guy. And either way, you got to walk away at some point. So you can see how the old IFB, they had a little truth in this, but by marrying it to quote-unquote conviction, Now all of a sudden it has this repent of your sins type of a flavor of, well, we're looking for people who really feel bad about their sins so that they're ready to stop doing them. And then it becomes like a works-based salvation of turning from your sins, turning over. Folks, that's not what this is. It's about faith and comprehension. You've got to understand the gospel and believe the gospel. You can't understand it and believe it without the Holy Ghost. It has to be the what's the title of the sermon? Except the Father draw him. The Father must draw him. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you have illuminated us, Lord, and that you have shined the light on us, and so many times in our life you've revealed things to us that led us to where we are today, led us to being saved, led us to being in church and understanding so many wonderful truths, Lord. Help us never to get dull of hearing. Help us never to get so caught up in the cares of this world where the still small voice of the Holy Spirit is drowned out and quenched in our lives, Lord. Help us always to be tuned in and listening. And Lord, help us as we're out soul winning. Help us to be faithful out soul winning, to preach the gospel and to preach the word of God. And Lord, help us to compel people to be saved and to persuade them to be saved. But Lord, help us not to drag someone into praying a prayer who doesn't truly understand or who doesn't truly believe, Lord. Help us to realize that some people aren't going to get saved today. And help us to just plant that seed, water that seed, and just walk away so that they could be saved on another day. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.